Thank you so much for praise and worship this morning. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. This is the story of Elisha and the purification of the water. Now the people of the city said to Elisha, "The location of this city is good, as my lord sees, but the water is bad, and the land is unfruitful." And Elisha said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went to the spring of water and threw the salt into it, and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have made this water wholesome. From now on, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it." So the water has been wholesome to this day, according to the word that Elijah spoke. This is the word of God for the people of God. I was getting a little bit nostalgic this morning. It was 5 years ago to this Sunday that I had my first Sunday with you, and thank you for the blessings that we've received and joy of being in ministry with you. And I was also thinking back as I prepared for this sermon, thinking about water of the 6 years that I served at Bayshore as a junior high dean with young people there. And Bayshore has been a great part of my life. I know some of you have gone there, and there's even more to do there now with the zip line and climbing wall and so many things. But there was basketball and tennis and soccer and recreation, canoeing, swimming, firesides, fishing, skits and crafts, and it was just a great time. But there were two things that I did not enjoy there at Camp Bayshore, and one was the odor from the sugar beet factory. How many of you have been Sebring? Have you been there? You almost can smell it as you go through town. The other thing that was a little bit challenging was the water. The water had the sulfur flavor. I don't know what the test was and what all it had in it, but if you didn't have something sweet or made into coffee or whatever, it was really tough to drink the water. And on one occasion, Lou Tibbetts and I, we were always having fun, and we did this thing, "I can do anything better than you." And we had this competition, and I lost. So I had, the loser had to drink, I don't know, one of these really big jars of the Bayshore water. And there was also a raw egg at the bottom. And I drank the whole thing. And I'll tell you what, it was something else. The water, I think, is purified now at Bayshore, at least in some of the place in the buildings. But in the passage that we're talking about, Elijah calls on God to purify the water of a whole city, Jericho, which is a lot worse than the Bayshore water. Tell you a little bit about Jericho. It's in the Jordan River Valley, 20 miles east of Jerusalem. We were there. And a few miles north of the Dead Sea, and it's one of the lowest, I think it's the lowest city in the world, and some consider it the oldest city in the world. Moses had seen it from a distance, from Mount Nebo. Joshua had conquered Jericho. Jesus had come there to minister to Zacchaeus and also heal blind Bartimaeus. Now, the scripture seems to indicate, because Moses named it the City of Palms, and you can still see palm trees there, and there were lots of palm trees around. Apparently, the water was more pure earlier, but during Elisha's time, it was bitter. And then following Elisha's time, the water has stayed pure until today. But at this time, the water was keeping the crops from growing. It was unhealthy to drink. And the Bible says it was even causing death amongst the people and the animals, and even abortions with infants and the cattle. And so the city fathers were desperate. They had to find a solution. Lo and behold, and you can read the scripture before this, some great miracles that happened through Elijah than Elisha. Elijah was taken up into heaven in the chariots and the horsemen of God, and Elisha was there, and Elisha prayed for the same blessing that Elijah had, and Elijah said, "If you see me go up to heaven, God will grant it to you." And when his mantle or cloak fell off, Elisha picked it up, and he walked through the River Jordan. The water was parted, just like Elijah did, and it was a miracle. I happen to have some of the River Jordan water here this morning, but we'll not do any miracles with it. But we use it for baptism sometimes. Well, the people heard about this. Elijah going up into heaven, Elijah and Elisha getting the mantle and following up. And they said, maybe we can get some help here. So you'll come on down and help us out with purifying the water. Because I'm guessing they had tried everything they knew. They probably dug deeper. Maybe they had pipes. They used different pipes. But finally, nothing worked. So they said, Elisha, come and help us. This was an act of faith. Now, as I think about this impure water in the city of Jericho, I think about our nation's concern for pure water, the world for lead-free water, free of chemicals. Here's the thing. God has given us water to live. We all need pure water. Leonardo da Vinci said, water is the driving force of nature. It is the essence of life. You know, there's two things. You just got to have water and air. We have mission efforts all over the world now, and we're finding that if you can dig a clean well and you can get water going in pipes into villages, that people can live. They can survive. They can grow crops. Without it, they cannot. I read an article that said 80% of the diseases in Africa are because of impure water. And I know that David Kanega was here earlier in the service, and he has been in ministry in Africa with providing pure water. But we're more aware of the need for pure water in this nation, aren't we? A narrative has begun in Flint, and it's spreading to the whole nation. We lived for 11 years in Genesee County, and I was there in the hospitals and the restaurants and businesses and never thought anything about the water. But for the last 6 months or so, in going back, people have been very anxious about the water. We were there a few months ago and with our daughters, and we went into a restaurant, and our daughter Bethany said, Dad, can we drink this water? And I said, well, they had purifiers, and they said it was clean, and some restaurants say, we don't have Flint water. So it's been a huge concern. And everybody's trying to figure out what to do. But here's the thing. Jericho had once been a prosperous city. And then the water went bad. And a lot of people don't know that Flint was named as one of the most beautiful cities in America. GM at one time employed 80,000 people there. But something happened. Labor and management didn't work well together. Racial tensions began to surface. Some blame corporate greed. Others blame the union. The once dynamic and well-functioning infrastructure began to corrode. Crime became rampant. People left the city. Roads, houses, and city structures began to crumble. The city lost its revenue. And I'm not justifying either side. I'm just telling you the story. In the scramble to survive and to save money, decisions were made to pump water out of the Flint River. The residents had already been complaining about bad water, but the Flint River water made it worse, and especially in the pipes. It was somewhat like the water in Jericho. But you know, not only in Flint, but we've got to come to grips across this country, because I read that hundreds of communities have lead in the water. That's very unhealthy. I read a report that says that in New Jersey, 11 cities had a higher proportion of children exposed to dangerous lead levels than Flint. And health and environmental leaders are pushing the government to make changes. I believe, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to think about our role, and we need to ask God, what are you calling us to do? And like Jericho, that God purified the water through Elijah, I believe that God is concerned for our cities and our communities. And so God is calling us to bring the water of life to others. Elijah did it. And we know that God not only wants people to have pure water to drink, but water that comes from the Holy Spirit to satisfy their souls. Jesus said that he had living water to give us that would satisfy. And I believe that the Word of God calls us to bring healing and restoration on a number of levels. And I want to tell you, I am very proud of our church, United Methodist Church, and its response to the Flint crisis. The churches of the city said, let's have at it. The conference said, we're going to take action. UMCOR gave money, and this gentleman who's a friend of ours by the name of Pete Plum jumped in there, became the coordinator, and people have been sending water from all over the nation, maybe even Canada, I don't know. And water purifiers have been placed in the homes in the cities. But in addition to the pure water, one of the greatest things is that relationships between the people there and the people that care are building a bridge. And a lot of folks in the city of Flint are African-American folks, and folks coming from the outside are both, but there's a unity of love that's occurring between black and white folk. And you know today, this morning, that is a desperate need in our country, a desperate need. Now, these are people here that are passing out water, and you can't tell, but one of those guys is Brian Kelly in the back. But if you want to help, good old summertime, you can email Pete Plum at plum@detroitconference.org. They still have needs, or you can check our conference website. I think we need to make a difference. As city leaders look to Elijah, so we as the disciples of Christ in our city and in the places where we live and impact, we ought to be people who have such a concern, such a love, and such a faith that people look to us too. They asked Elisha to do something. He asked God. God said, put salt in the water. Doesn't sound like a real great way to purify. But from that time forth, the water was clean. And you saw a picture there earlier of the fountain of Elijah, which they still celebrate today because it's pure water. And the city is primarily Muslim today, but they still celebrate that the water is pure. We drank the water there. So we need to serve in the world. We need to bring God's promises, God's future, and God's message in Christ in this community and around the nation and world. We need, as the New Jersey conference said after Hurricane Sandy, we need to bring a future with a hope. This is a scripture in Jeremiah 29. A few years ago, Mayor Donker invited the pastors to an event at the city hall to talk about helping our city through neighboring. I felt moved to be part of this, and along with Reverend Wally Maton and then Reverend Tom Shocker, we were connecting Midland First and Memorial Presbyterian. We worked together to do things. The last 2 years, we worked on homes in our neighborhood. We encouraged people to neighbor in other ways, to care about your neighbor. We're really blessed in our neighborhood. One of our members, I mentioned it a few years back, but it's worth saying again, Roy Davis, has a breakfast. It's every Saturday morning, especially in the summer months. And he invites anybody, any neighbor, and even further out. But the cool thing about this is when you get together, even though it's just a relaxed time, you start caring about one another. You start thinking about one another's needs. You start praying for one another. And so God, I believe, is calling us to care about our neighbors. It's like bringing fresh water to others' lives. And so this ministry that's going to take place July the 30th, think about this. Think about being part of this. It's in the bulletin and going out there to help. Another way that our church is seeking to do ministry to our neighbors and bring a cup of fresh water is through this thing called Kids Hope. And some of our staff have gotten together and said, we need to reach out to our schools, and you get to have lunch with kids, you give them support, you're a friend with them, you tutor them, whatever. You see, Jesus said, if we give only a cup of cold water to a child in his name, that we would be blessed. A cup of cold water, the water of life, symbolizes love, care, and concern. And then I'll take it to another level. Our city is waiting with bated breath because we know that great job changes are coming. When it happens, as God's people, we need to be there. We need to be praying. We need to be encouraging our neighbors. We may need to sit down, just tell them we love them and we value them. Somebody might even have advice. I've seen people in the church that got concerned about somebody else, and they said, I know a job where it might be good for you, and I'm praying about it, and the person went there, and they got the job. God can use us in encouraging people in our community. We need to remind ourselves that Jesus Christ is the healing and hope that our communities need. There was another spring or well where healing took place in the New Testament, Jacob's well. Jesus had been out on a journey and was hot, tired, and very thirsty. He sat down and asked a Samaritan woman for a drink. She asked, why do you as a Jew ask me as a Samaritan for water? Because they didn't get along. There was racial differences. They didn't like one another. But Jesus saw beyond the differences and saw the need in her heart. And so he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and you would have given him living water. Now, living water to her probably meant running water and not just in the well. And she said, show me where to find this living water. And Jesus said, he who drinks of the water of this well shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Friends, the living water that God has for me and for you is better than anything in this world. Now, I'm looking out on the fountain and the pool, and I'm looking outdoors, and I'm thinking, it doesn't get any better than this, you know, to go for a walk, to go out to eat, to go on a bike ride, to go somewhere on a lake, whatever it is. And these are all really good things, and they give refreshment to us. But it can't be a substitute for the spiritual water that Jesus Christ has for you and has for me. This lifts us for a moment, but we need something inside that heals our hearts. The woman at the well was broken. She had had numerous husbands. Her life was a wreck. And Jesus made her whole. And Jesus gave her living water. Friends, we live in a world that thirsts for the real thing. And sometimes people turn to satisfy their spiritual thirst to alcohol or to drugs or to sex or to gambling or even a destructive religious attitude. Elisha asked the people what he could do for them. God showed him. We need to ask God, God, what can we do for those who are making shipwreck of their lives that are really hurting? Who do you know that needs a loving word? Who needs to know that they're appreciated? Who can you help to shoulder a burden? Who needs to know that someone believes in them? There are people that are right on the edge, and they need an encouraging word to keep them from destruction, and God wants you and I to be there for them. We have someone that we love dearly who's struggling with their studies, and they're about to make shipwreck. And we've been praying for them, and my wife's been reaching out to this person. We need to give them fresh water. It may be your neighbor. It may be a friend. It may be someone in the family. It may be someone not like you, a different race, a different culture. I keep the Wall Street Journal and the Detroit News on my cell phone And the other day, an alert came up from the Detroit News. And I looked at it, and to my horror, I saw the shooting of policemen in Dallas. By the way, we had somebody here this morning in the first service whose husband is on the police department in Dallas. You don't know that's going to happen when you're preaching. So it's a member of this church's daughter. So we're more connected than we realize, friends. And we need to pray for that situation. But the whole nation is in turmoil. And there is violence and hatred that must be addressed from every side. You see, Elijah reached out to a city that likely didn't have all Jews. There were people from a different background. Jesus reached out to a Samaritan. They weren't supposed to hang out together. There was tension there too. And I believe that we in this day and age must build a bridge between different people and different races, especially our African American brothers and sisters. When I served in Detroit, I would go to the, like on Martin Luther King Day, I would go to the gatherings of the black churches. And, you know, they were so blessed to have me there as a white pastor, and we had good fellowship. When we served in Flint, in Swords Creek, we would invite churches, black African-American churches, come, and their choirs come and sing with us. Now, I know the diversity is not as great in Midland, but we got to build bridges wherever we can. And there is the city of Saginaw, not too far from here. And you can reach out in Flint. And when you encounter people, build love, build understanding, give fresh water, the living water of God's love to those we encounter. But here's the most important thing of all. You and I can't offer the water of life, the living water, unless we are drinking it ourselves. Christians can be pulled into the bitter waters of hatred, resentment, even in the church. People don't see things the way others do. They become resentful. We can entertain gossip without searching out the whole story. We can fall into the trap of having impure thoughts of greed, of lust, of pride, a desire to be controlling, to write people off. As followers of Christ, we need to drink of the water that gives abundant and eternal life. When we drink of the water, the living water that Jesus has, the fruit in us will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I want to ask you in closing, are you thirsty today? I'm getting kind of thirsty right now. I need a drink of water. But I mean, are you thirsty for the living water? I used to sing this song in college and beyond. It's one of my favorites. And it says, and Jesus said, come to the water and stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. You may be here this morning and you know about Christ. You believe he existed. You believe in his teachings, but you've never taken a step to say, Lord, like the woman at the well, be my Savior. Be the master of my life. Cleanse me of all my sins and let me be your child. Let me have your salvation. If you haven't done that, you need to do it. You can do it while we sing this last song. But most of us, you have already taken that step, and you do believe. But Christ invites you to come again and drink again. And then when we have fully received the living water, then we're able to share it. You see, Jesus said in John 7:38, he who believes in me and knows me and loves me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I don't always drink of that water as I should. Join me to receive the water, the Holy Spirit, and say, Lord, I want to drink of you like the woman at the well. And I want to be forgiven, and I want to be made whole. And then I want to share that water with others.